Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Chesapeake, Virginia, and graduated from West Point in 1989 while playing as a defensive lineman on its football team. He gave 23 years of service in the U.S. Army, and on May 7th, 2007, an IED attack in Iraq cost him both legs and the normal use of his right arm and hand. Since 2011, he's been the director of the Army's Wounded Warrior Program, and in 2012, he made his acting debut in Battleship. His name? Colonel Greg Gadsen. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Colonel Greg Gadsen. Many of us know him from his role in Battleship as Lieutenant Mick Kanellis. Colonel, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Well, thank you, Jack. It's great to be here. It's great to be here in Detroit, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here with
you. You're prettier in person. You know that, Gadsen?
It's easy to say that. I got a face made for radio, so.
Okay. Let's go back. Your childhood. Talk to us about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please.
Sure. Well, I'm very proud of my parents. Unfortunately, they're no longer with us. They've passed. And you know, they provided a loving and caring home. They grew up in the segregated South in South Carolina, and both graduated from Howard University in Washington, D.C. And so I think those experiences of growing up in the South, they were very, looking back, they were very transformative from the standpoint that they raised a family that was very open-minded and accepting, and you know, we weren't raised as kids that had anger against other races or other colors, but really raised to pursue our opportunities.
When you graduated from West Point, what did your mom and dad say to you that day?
You know, I really can't remember, but I know they were proud of me. I mean, they were there at my graduation, and I was their first. You know, I was the oldest, and I was the first to graduate from college. You know, from their offspring, and so I know it was a proud moment. You know, something that I didn't know until many years later is that Howard University was actually started by a West Point graduate, General Oliver Otis Howard, who was a Civil War general who actually lost his arm, and so he was an amputee, and one of the first to recognize that African Americans needed a place of higher learning in our country, and Howard University is the oldest historically black college, and ironically, them, you know, my parents being graduates of Howard University, and then I would end up going to West Point, so it's a it kind of came full circle for me.
Okay, so you told us about Howard University. Now tell us about this other place called the U.S. Military Academy, West Point.
Yes. It is the, I think it's the country's premier military institution. And it is an institution that's more than a college. The rigor, the education, the leader development is about developing leaders for our country, not just folks that are educated. And there's nothing wrong with education, but it's about building leaders that are going to help solve our nation's problems. And so, therefore, in my humble opinion, it really is an institution.
You could have gone to most any college. Why did you choose West Point?
I wish I could say that. I wanted to play football. It was very high on my list, and like many young teenagers, wanted to even go into the professional ranks. And so I thought that going to and playing at a Division I school was my best path to do that. And those opportunities didn't materialize. And so I actually went to West Point with a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, I realized that going to a military academy, that my options to play pro was very minimal. But I also wanted to prove that I could play at the highest level. And so that was really the God's simple truth on why I went to West Point.
Greg, speaking of the highest level, what were one or two highlights of your football career at West Point?
Well, I'm very proud of my senior class. We finished the season 9-3 with a bowl game. We lost three games that season, all on the road or neutral sites, including a close loss to the University of Washington up in Seattle the year before they won the national championship. We lost to Boston College in Ireland, first college football game played in Ireland. And we lost to the University of Alabama in the Sun Bowl by a point. And so we were a very tenacious team that played together, and that's what I'm really proud of.
You talk to any of these football analysts, Mike Tirico, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and you ask them if they could go to one college game in their life, where would they go? And Colonel Getson, they all say the Army-Navy game. Why?
Well, it is a very different rivalry because most rivalries, Michigan-Ohio State, for instance, that's probably one that's, Michigan-Michigan State or ones that people around here recognize. You typically don't appreciate the opponent the entire year. But the Army-Navy game, we're brother in arms, brothers and sisters in arms. And so for 3 hours on a Saturday, we're competing against each other. But otherwise, we're on the same side. And so that's why it's a special rivalry.
Talk to us about team.
Team. Team is about purpose. Team is about understanding that you're part of something that is greater than you. And that and recognizing that the greater good, the greater value, the greater achievement is that you are putting into something. You're giving your all to something and for a greater good that we'll all benefit from. And it's truly selflessness, and it's a way of life.
We're talking to Colonel Greg Getson, who served in four conflicts over 17 years. The Gulf War in 1991, Bosnia 2002, Afghanistan 2004, Iraq 2007. When we come back, we'll ask him about that. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Colonel Greg Getson, who served in four conflicts over 17 years, the Gulf War, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Afghanistan, and Iraq. Greg, if you could share with us some about those 17 years.
Well, right off the bat, the first Gulf War, I was a platoon leader, it was one of those things where I honestly can tell you, looking back at it, I was excited to go off to war, to be able to prove my manhood, to prove my mettle in combat. And I remember after redeploying, kind of thinking that warfare is devastating. It's to me, it's the saddest thing mankind can resort to. When they have to resort to that kind of mass violence to resolve issues, and it's necessary, but it's unfortunate that there are times in our lives when we have to resort to that. So it's not as glamorous, it's not as magical as I thought. And the big lesson that I took from my first deployment was that these stakes are for real, and I have to do everything in my power that if I'm asked to go in harm's way, that my soldiers are prepared to do what they need to do and come back alive.
Your soldiers, the young heroes, it wasn't glamorous. Talk to us about the conditions and the job that your young troops did in those four conflicts.
Well, you know, it's tough, first of all, just being away from your family and all the things that you miss when you're focused on your mission. But there's also a special kind of bond and camaraderie that deployments forge. And they're lifelong bonds because they're shared hardships. You know, the hot weather in the deserts of Afghanistan and Iraq, the cold weather in the mountains of Afghanistan. I remember waking up every morning just thinking about how fast I was going to sprint to get my clothes on after I sleeping in a tent that didn't have heat. And so it's hard. It's a hard life. But I wouldn't change it. It's not hard. I'm not complaining about it. It's something that has made me myself.
How did you keep going back, Greg, time after time for 17 years?
It's your duty. It's your responsibility. You know, the soldiers, we have an all-volunteer force. And so these men and women raised their hand to serve our nation. And so I can think of very, very few responsibilities that I can be entrusted with in taking care of our nation's most precious asset, our sons and daughters, the lifeblood of our country. And so you're part of a team, and you have a purpose to defend this nation, so it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy to, you know, this is not some commercial mom and dad and apple pie, but it's serious work. And I took it that way.
As you meet some of these young soldiers, men and women that you led, you meet them now back in America, 10, 12 years later. What do they say? What do they do when they come up to you?
Jack, it's amazing. I mean, it almost brings me to tears sometimes to see. I mean, some of these men and women were 18, 19 years old, and now they're in their 30s, and they don't have these boyish looks on their face. They're men, and honestly, when they tell me thank you for your example, thank you for taking care of us and showing us what right is look like. I mean, there is no amount of money in the world that anybody could give me to replace that.
Let's go back to May 7th, 2007. Please.
Yes, sir. It was the end of a long day, and it culminated for me attending a memorial service for two soldiers in a sister battalion that had been killed 3 days earlier. And it really just kind of brought back the home, because those soldiers were from Fort Riley. You know, the sacrifice that people are making every day. And I remember I was in a patrol heading back to my headquarters, a four-vehicle patrol, and just thinking about, man, what a heavy price to pay. What do their parents think? What is their family going through processing this? Would they say it was worth it? And then, bam, you know, my vehicle was hit by a roadside bomb.
Get out.
And it ejected me out of the vehicle, and I remember landing on my back and coming to a rolling stop as my vehicle kind of sputtered forward. And I said, man, I couldn't believe it. I was first just mad and pissed, and then I realized that I was in bad shape. And I said, God, I don't want to die here in this country. And I lost consciousness.
Down to the road and see if they got the medic down there.
I was fortunate that my senior non-commissioned officer was in the vehicle following me. And when my vehicle finally came to a stop, he was the first to recognize that I was missing. And eventually he found me and began to resuscitate me. I'm lying in a pool of my blood.
All right, okay. Just keep talking.
And a young soldier named Private Eric Brown would put the tourniquets on my legs, a fact that the doctors say saved my life. And not to beleaguer this, but that night I went through nearly 130 pints of blood. And I tell you that not because I did anything. I share that just to give you a perspective of my injuries. The average human only holds between 6 and 8 pints. So if you talk to people in the medical community, they would certainly say that that is highly, highly, highly unusual that your organs can even handle that kind of blood volume.
Colonel Getson, they got you back to Walter Reed
right.
in D.C., and then they told you we got to cut your left leg off above the knee. And then later, we got to do the same with your right leg. You're a mountain of a man. You were a Zeus. How did you learn to accept that?
Well, Jack, I mentioned earlier that I asked God not to die in this country. And it's about my faith. I'll tell you that God not only saved me, but he healed me. And when I say he healed me, there was no hate. There was no resentment in my heart. And that was all behind me. So I could accept it. That's how I accepted it. I accepted what had happened to me on faith. And so I knew that my life was forward and not backwards. And that's how powerful acceptance is.
If someday an Iraqi comes up to you, Greg Getson, and said, I'm the guy that laid that IED, what would you say to him?
I would say I forgive him. I'm not saying I'd go drinking with him, but I have no score. I have no score to settle with any Iraqi or with anyone. I'm at peace.
Wow. We're talking to Colonel Greg Getson, and I'm Jack Crisula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Crisula. We're with Colonel Greg Getson, who on May 7th, 2007, an IED attack in Iraq cost him both legs and the normal use of his right arm. Private Eric
Brown.
Tell us about him.
Yes. This young man is an incredible young man. As fate would have it, the medic assigned to my personal security detachment slipped on some ice and broke his ankle in Kansas before we deployed to Iraq. And we asked the Army for a replacement medic. And because we were part of the surge, the Army didn't have medics to replace him. A sharp senior non-commissioned officer, my headquarters first sergeant, recommended that we send Private Eric Brown to a 2-week emergency medical training course at Kansas State University. And he would finish just days before we deployed to Iraq. My leadership's suggestion was to put Brown in one of the subordinate platoons and pull up a medic for myself, school-trained medic. And I said no. First of all, I was concerned about upsetting the teams. Why make a personal change for myself? And so that was the first reason I said no. But the more important reason was, you know, what would I be saying about this to this young man? How much confidence I had in him and to the other soldiers. If he was good enough for them, he was good enough for me. And as I said, that young man was responsible for putting the tourniquets on my legs, a fact that the doctors say saved my life.
At West Point, there was a saying in the locker room that you guys would touch every day. It said, I lay me down for to bleed a while, and I will rise to fight with you again.
Yes.
And that now hangs above the door in your kitchen.
Well, I got an update on that. One of my fellow, one of the trainers and one of my fellow teammates bought that sign to me when I was in the hospital recovering from my injuries. They gave it to me to help inspire me because I was, you know, I laid me down to bleed a while, but I was going to rise up. Well, last fall before this past Army season started, I returned it to where it belonged. My friend Chuck Schretzman, on his suggestion, he said, this is not something that any of us needs to keep. It belongs back at West Point. And so I presented it to the coach and the team during 2-a-days last summer.
And Army went on to beat Navy for the first time in 15 years.
Yep, absolutely.
In 2007, you went out to 50-yard line for an Army-Navy game for the coin toss.
Yes, sir.
Getson, what was that like?
It was a powerful moment. I mean, I can be careful, but it was very emotional because, you know, it wasn't about Army and Navy. It was about serving our nation, and in Baltimore, everybody in the crowd is standing and cheering you on. Didn't matter whether I had an Army uniform or a Navy uniform or a Marine uniform. It was about me in that moment representing so many who had made that sacrifice.
Since 2011, Colonel, you've served as the director of the U.S. Army Wounded Warrior Program.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that program.
Well, that was my first job, full-time job after recovering from my injuries. And I'll tell you, I was reluctant about taking that job because I didn't want to be defined as a wounded warrior. And I say today that I'm not a wounded warrior. I'm a warrior who was once wounded, but I'm not continually wounded. But I felt like I had a responsibility. I felt like I could help others from that position. And I went back to the I went back and said, this is what I want to do. And so a program focuses on the severely wounded, injured, and ill. And it's really about helping them recover and move on with their lives, whether it's to continue on in uniform or whether it's to transition back into the civilian world.
If there's a wounded warrior listening tonight, Colonel Getson, what would you say to him or her?
Well, I remember saying this to many people I would see in the hospital, especially those coming, you know, their wounds were fairly new. I would just say, look, the worst of it's over. You know, you're alive and you have the rest of your life in front of you. And so I would just say, what has happened to you in your life is something that that can define you or you can define it. And I think your challenge is for you to define it and not it to define you.
Talk to us tonight to the spouses and the kids of the wounded warriors.
You know, my first group of heroes are those that are no longer with us because they paid in full measure. My second group of heroes are our families. Because, and it's not intuitive, but when a service member is wounded, his entire family is wounded. It changes not just my life. My injuries changed my whole family's life. How we moved, how we thought about moving, places we went, places we didn't go. It's a challenge. And they don't get a say-so in it. I raised my hand to serve. And they didn't. They knew that was part of the package, but they didn't raise their hand to serve. And so our families are heroes. They enable us to do what we do. And, you know, having a stable family, having a loving family allowed me to go out and serve my nation.
Colonel Getson, talk to us about the good so many people quietly do throughout America to help our vets.
Well, I couldn't, this is a great question, a great state to ask that question because, you know, Michigan is at the top of the list of those states that really honor and serve our veterans. Yesterday, I actually had a chance to visit the Michigan Veterans Foundation, a new veterans home that just opened up about 36 days ago, and I got a chance to speak with those. So, again, just another example of how Michigan supports their veterans. There are a lot of quiet heroes. You know, one of mine, we have a personal friend, Jim Anderson, of course, who...
CEO of Urban Sciences.
That's right, who is quietly... does many things to help not just our service members, not just those in the disability community, but just really a generous patriot that has found a way to connect to our service members and even to our United States Military Academy.
Well, he has sure changed the life of you and Kimberly and your two children, because he's putting the son and daughter through college.
Right. Well, he put my daughter through college. My son went a different route, and so that wasn't his path. But yes, you know that is the quiet subtleties that so many great Americans like Mr. Jim Anderson and his wife Patty do with their resources. Jim even established a Wounded Warrior Scholarship in the School of Engineering in my name at Wayne State University. Mm-hmm. So there are many things that he continues to do to support our nation's defense and those who serve our nation and make great sacrifice.
One more couple with a special heart for our veterans, President George W. Bush and Laura, please.
Yes. Well, I want to say that President Bush has a special place in my heart. I met him many times while he was the president. And I like to say he took a liking to me, and almost on any occasion that there was a special event at the White House, I was invited, including his farewell address. What a patriot this man is. He loves our country, and I'm honored to know him. I've even had a chance on one occasion, even since he's been out of the presidency, to see him, and he continues to be a force and use his platform to support those that have served.
He's become an artist now, and he's focusing on vets. Has he done you yet?
No. I'm kind of I got to catch up with him and find out how come I wasn't in there.
All right. He wants to get better.
Yeah.
Do you justice.
Yeah.
We're talking to Colonel Greg Gatson, and I'm Jack Rasulin. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 W. I'm Jack Rasulin. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Colonel Greg Gatson. Greg, God works in strange ways. His ways are not our ways. And he brings us angels in our lives regularly. And there was a defensive back that you played with at West Point by the name of Mike Sullivan. And he became an angel for you. How?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I really hadn't spoken to Mike in 4 or 5 years, and I was able to get his number, and I called him before I deployed to Iraq. And I called him to just tell him how proud I was of him. I mean, he's a coach in the National Football League, and I was proud of him. Little did I know that 5 months later... he would be visiting me in the hospital, you know, like many of my classmates, like many of my teammates, and just never imagined it. And he was amongst the many that visited me. Well, in that 2007 season, the Giants ironically started out 0-2, and the third game of the season was against the Washington Redskins. So they were coming to town to play the Redskins. And he called me on a Monday and asked... if I wanted to go to the game, I told him yes, and he asked me how many tickets I needed. I said I needed, four for my family, including me. the next day, he called me back and said, "Hey, I got this idea. I want to know if you'd be willing to talk with the team." And I was kind of like, "Okay, sure." And but realize at this point, I've never spoken any organization outside of the Army. But I said, "Sure, I can come up with something." And so he ran the idea by Coach Coughlin, and Coach Coughlin agreed. And on Saturday before they played the Redskins, I spoke to him Saturday night at a team meeting. And I talked to him about pride, poise, and team. Well, the game, you know, of course, was on Sunday. And the score at halftime was the Redskins 14, the Giants 3. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm not a very good motivational speaker because this is not working out. But the Giants would rally, and they would win the game 24-17, I believe. And they went on a 10-game road winning streak, which I still think stands as a record. Well, I didn't go to any other game, the regular season game, and the first game I was able to go to was against the Tampa Bay or the Tampa Buccaneers in a wild card game. And then I was the honorary co-captain for the NFC Championship game in Green Bay. And before the Super Bowl, when we were coming back from practice, I asked Coach Coughlin if I could address the team. And what I told him was this in synopsis was, I said, if I could be anywhere in the world right now, it'd be back with my soldiers in Iraq. But I know that's not possible. And I'm here with my new team. And I told him that that I would take every single one of them with me to Iraq if I could. And I told him we were going to be victorious tomorrow against the then undefeated Patriots in Super Bowl 42.
Back in 2005, I went to Walter Reed with Brigadier General Jack Nicholson. Yep. When you go in there with the Brigadier General, okay, we went into 24 rooms with these young wounded veterans. Every one of them that had all their limbs said, "Brigadier General, my goal is to get back to my troop because we were 24 when we went over and now we're only 18.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that were missing a limb wanted to be at the tarmac at Landsdorf in West Germany
when they came back. Right.
These kids were 18, 19 years old. How do you explain that, Craig?
I think that's the essence of a team. I think it's the essence of belonging to something. And I remember, Jack, I remember crying. I remember crying in my bedroom going, I can't believe I'm not with my soldiers. I was, you know, the love, the missing them. That's how real that is. That's how real that commitment is. And despite your injuries, you still even have a sense of guilt that you're not with them. It's pretty powerful.
So that's real. Then on the other hand, Hollywood, okay, 2012, you're in this movie called Battleship.
Right.
What was that like?
Wow, very different experience. I'd like to say that I have a new and profound respect for that acting. It's tough, you know. It's very demanding, but it was neat. It was just I got a call from the director, and he asked me if I wanted to be in this movie, and I said, I really just kind of said, you know, sure, kind of thinking that it was never going to lead to anything. And, you know, 6 months later, I was in Hawaii filming.
If there's a listener tonight who's just found out that he or she has cancer, or who's just been in an accident and is maimed, and they're thinking, wow, what would you say to them, Colonel Greg Gadsden?
I would say this is that moment where you have to decide whether you're going to live or whether you're going to die. And when I say die, I don't mean suicide. I don't mean just, are you going to quit in life? Are you going to Are you going to let this event define you, or are you going to let your character define you by how you rise above this event? And that's the crossroads that you come to. And you don't, and so many times in life we think that we do things all ourselves, but we don't do anything in life ourselves. We're in this world together. And any success you have, there's somebody that supported that success. So when you're going through some tough times, you don't go through it alone. Start with the Lord, and then your family, and then your friends, and you'll get through anything.
I read recently, quote, "The one who benefits from forgiveness is the one who forgives, not the one forgiven."
Absolutely. Because when you forgive, you set free. You're set free. I mean, all of us can identify with being mad at someone who doesn't even know we're mad at them. And who's carrying around the pain? Who's carrying around the anger? You are. But when you release that, you're free. You're at peace. And forgiveness is powerful. It is just and that's where I'm in. That's why I'm where I'm at today.
As our time winds down together, Colonel Gadsden, what advice would you give to our young listeners this evening?
It's this. You know, every day we have a chance to be the best that we can be. It's not about beating Johnny or Sue or anybody else around you. It's about living up to the best that you can be. And by doing that, you're building your character. You're building your resiliency. You're building your capacity to take on the challenges that life will undoubtedly throw your way.
Colonel Greg Gadsden, thank you for service to our country, and thanks for all you're doing in this latest chapter in your life for the last 10 years. Keep it up.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
I think the world of you. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.